Thursdays at 6 p.m. in the lower atrium of the Nest CITR station, with a remote option as well. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unceded Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca. Hello, I'm Danny from Unceded Airwaves. I'm our Indigenous Collective lead. You've probably not heard from me for a while. Been quite busy, been on a break. This summer, we will be bringing to you a limited podcast series, so there will be some pretty cool, pretty different stuff coming up. And today, I wanted to do a kind of fill-in style episode talking about Palestine and talking about Indigenous government and also talking about pinkwashing, since it's that time of year. So, first and foremost, we are grateful to be broadcasting to you from the stolen and unceded land of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. We broadcast across all the way out to the unceded ancestral lands of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish people in the city that has been colonially labeled as Vancouver. This is Unceded Airwaves. Hopefully our promo at the very beginning told you everything you might want to know about us. We are always looking for new members, and we're doing a lot of remote work this summer. So to start us off with this episode, I wanted to shout out this queer Palestinian artist who is an electronic baddie, and we're going to start off with a song called Intifada on the dance floor. And this is Bashar Murad, who we're going to play a few tracks by. We're going to play Intifada on the dance floor, then Cleffy, and then their brand new track Stone. And then after that we'll have more information. I'll be reading off a lot of information that's already been put out there, and I hope that you enjoy it.
What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? مين اللي what the fuck؟ مسؤول الحفلة طالع زي الزنبرك مش عارفين يعني صفتك مين يعني كنا مكيفين وبعدين شفنا منظرك
شمعنا الجنوب شمعنا Welcome, neighbor, to our gayborhood. In Our Gayborhood is a journey through the communities of BC, meeting our neighbors who work towards a world where everyone can be proud of who they are. In our first season, get to know the Touche L'Ojibwetikwa advocates, educators, and students who help our schools grow into spaces where everyone can belong. Just like our neighborhoods, each episode is filled with the spirit of care, the energy of activism, and the warmth of community. Join us in Our Gayborhood, premiering June 14th at the Queer Arts Festival.
Everything you take in is the first and the last time it will ever be that way. This is Kristen Carter, and my debut contemporary pop album, Full Bloom, is now yours to discover on all digital streaming platforms. The past few years have had me reflecting a lot on what it means to be resilient, patient, and joyful, much like a gardener. Full Bloom is a living garden of 12 songs that celebrates the beauty and the seasonal nature of life. My hope is that each time you listen, you'll hear things in a different glow of light that make them new all over again. You can find Full Bloom wherever you listen to music, or you can visit thekristencarter.com or follow at Kristen Carter Music on social media to learn more. Funded by Factor and Canada's private radio broadcasters.
Get to Lisa, stay there, clear, see them. I've got a stone, could build us a home to weather us through the hard thunder and storms. I've got a stone, could build you a throne so you'd be right where you always belonged. I took the key and kept it with me so we would come back when we are free. I wrote a song so you'd sing along for our children to know where we're from. I wrote a song, sing along. I've got a stone and it was thrown so that they'd finally leave us alone. Collected our own and buried their bones. It's terrifying, our future's unknown. They took our soil, our olives and oil, forever condemned to a lifetime of toil. They took it all, and they built a wall to make us feel helpless and feeble and small. But it will fall. It will fall.
Of the Palestinian people who are uprooted, thrown in the camps, living in starvation, forbidden to use even the name Palestinians. To us, to liberate our country, to have dignity, to have respect, to have our mere human rights is something as essential as life itself.
I'm gonna brave the storm although I'm sweaty. I'm gonna hold my head up though it's heavy. I'm gonna walk on though my feet are bloody. Cause I've seen it all, whatever comes I'm ready. I'm gonna brave the storm although I'm sweaty. I'm gonna hold my head up though it's heavy. I'm gonna walk on though they took our stones and made them their own. But with time the truth will be told. I took a stone, a piece of our home. They didn't notice that it was gone. I've got a stone, got a stone. I've got a stone, I've got a stone.
Welcome to Lethal Refresh.
I'm Danny.
I'm B.
I'm Stuff.
I'm Jay.
Let's get lethal. Let's get refreshed.
When it's darkest, we always attract the brightest people. Baby, you a light. Shift my whole world to the right.
Please listen to Lethal Refresh on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Nardor to you and Serviette and doo-doo-loo-doo.
Doo-doo! Thank you!
Lethal Refresh, every Monday, 12 to 1 p.m. New music every week.
Re-20, T20. Catch up, you that one. I get E-son. And then a little tight. Yeah.
Yeah.
it's Nardwar, the human serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM at doo-doo-loo-doo, doo-doo.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Unseated Airwaves. I'm your host for today, Danny, our Indigenous Collective Lead, Ayushi Her, Motopemso Nehyo, also Two-Spirit, and I'm from Sioux Territory in the South Okanagan, but I now live here in Musqueam Territory. So today I'm talking about pinkwashing and queer erasure in Palestine, and then I'll be talking a little bit about Indigenous governance and Palestine. So first I want to read out this archival slide show thing from the Slow Factory. So it's called Pinkwashing, Queer Erasure in Palestine. Pinkwashing was a term coined by Sarah Shulman in the New York Times op-ed Israel and Pinkwashing. Pinkwashing is an Israeli government propaganda strategy that cynically exploits LGBTQIA rights to project a progressive image while concealing Israel's occupation and apartheid policies oppressing Palestinians. For decades, Israel's colonial and apartheid regime has robbed, oppressed, ethnically cleansed, impoverished, imprisoned, and killed Palestinians, queer and non-queer alike. The source of this is the BDSmovement.net. Pinkwashing versus human rights. Israel uses pinkwashing to divert attention from the very real human rights violations that they are perpetuating against the Palestinian people. The Israeli government has an entire PR team dedicated to orchestrating high-profile events such as concerts featuring renowned artists and extravagant pride celebrations and music festivals designed to target the LGBTQ community. This strategic maneuver distracts from the underlying oppression and seeks to present a facade of progressiveness, building on anti-Arab rhetoric. This perpetuates the false narrative that Palestinians are more deserving of Israeli militant occupation than liberation. Pinkwashing fuels anti-Arab racism. Pinkwashing actively fuels bigotry by fabricating divisions, primarily by pitting support for Israel, who have portrayed themselves as the ultimate LGBTQ ally, against the Palestinian people, often erroneously conflated with solely Muslim. Western powers have also sown the seeds of anti-Arab rhetoric in numerous nations and campaigns throughout the pretext of the war on terror, which capitalizes on conflicts in what is called by them the Middle East and the appropriation of resources. This strategy is reprehensible and heartless as it repeatedly highlights homophobia within a population undergoing ethnic cleansing, effectively negating their fundamental right to life and liberation, while erasing the presence of queer Arabs altogether. Human rights should never be conditional. Use this as an opportunity to empower your humanity and your belief in international solidarity. Ask yourself, does my criticism help the liberation of all Palestinian people? Women, children, men, elders, queers, disabled folks, and the list goes on. Without basic human rights, there are no rights for anyone. It is a very Western ideology to ignore the basic needs of intentionally marginalized people, all while refusing to recognize the privilege when criticizing liberatory movements. No pride in genocide. Here's a guide to pride by the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. This is a guide to pride. This Pride Month, we demand that Pride organizations heed the call from queer and trans people of conscience. Ban corporate entities profiting off of the genocide in Palestine and the desecration of our communities across the world. Condemn pinkwashing and homonationalism. Call for an immediate permanent ceasefire and an end to arming Israel. No pride for some of us without liberation for all of us is a quote from Marsha P. Johnson. Queer and trans rights and lives are being weaponized by Israel and the United States to justify the genocide of Palestinian people. Yet pride organizations alongside national LGBTQIA organizations that claim to represent our community have remained silent on the genocide while championing corporations largely responsible for the genocide. We demand that pride publicly ban weapons manufacturers from any participation, whether in parades and events or through sponsorship. Support Palestinians and their resistance against apartheid, ethnic cleansing, and genocide. Publicly condemn pinkwashing and homonationalism. Publicly call for an immediate, permanent ceasefire and an end to arming Israel. cut ties with all corporate entities that profit from war, detention, and incarceration, environmental destruction, and individual community displacement. Ban police from marching and participating in pride events and publicly denounce state violence inflicted on our communities. Take action. Pride organizations are actively complicit in the genocide being carried out by Israel and the United States government against Palestinians. Here is a process for confronting pride organizations in your locality. Number one is get your people together. Queer and trans organizers, visual artists, drag queens, DJs, nightlife, and cultural workers are all down to throw down and have been at the forefront of the movement this whole time. Get your people together. Number two is do your research. What corporations are sponsoring your pride? Weapons manufacturers? Banks that invest in prisons, war, and environmental destructions? Police? Do your research. Three, dialogue. Engage your target directly is a tried and true first step to escalate strategically. We want to engage with our pride organizations before deciding if and how to escalate. Number four is digital escalation. If pride organizations won't meet our demands, digital escalation is the next step. Petitions, open letters, and letter writing campaigns are a great place to start. Number five is creative disruption. Still not listening? How did we guess? Creative action is what we queer and trans folks are best known for. No pride in genocide. Ready to organize? If pride doesn't listen, they answer to us. Pride is our thing. It is our pride, so we should have a say in this. I'd like to talk also about, UBC's own investments. So from UBC Social Justice Center and GRS for Palestine, in 2023, UBC invested an estimated $113,852,076 of its endowment into Israeli apartheid, settler colonialism, and genocide. The UBC Social Justice Center and UBC Graduate Students for Palestine cross-reference to the 2023 UBC IMANT Endowment Holdings Disclosure reports with data from the UNOHCHR, the AFSC, WHO Profits, Amnesty International, the BDS Movement, Corp Watch, and Al-Haq to identify 88 companies complicit in Israeli crimes against humanity that UBC invests in. This data is presented in the following tables. Again, this is on Instagram. You can find it on GRS4Palestine. Companies marked with an asterisk are conglomerates. UBC's IMANT reports that the list endowment holdings in percentages. The dollar amounts listed in this post are estimates, resulting from calculations based on comparing how the overall value of the endowment with the percentage listed. However, the dates of the holding disclosure do not fully match up with the reporting dates for the endowment fund value. The value of the endowment fund was reported to be $2.19 billion on March 31, 2023, while the holding disclosure was reported on June 30, 2023. For comparison, the March 31, 2023 value of the fund was $2.09 billion. The dollar amount should be a good estimate, assuming the fund's value grew somewhat evenly over the 3 months from March to June of 2023. Notably, investments into the following companies in 2023 increased from 2022. Holdings in BAE Systems increased by 4 times. BAE Systems is the world's 7th largest military contractor, while manufactures multiple weapons systems routinely used in war crimes against Palestinians. Holdings in Palantir increased by 4 times. Palantir produces technology that Israel uses to conduct mass surveillance of the Palestinian civilian populations. Holding in Boeing increased by 5 times. Boeing aircrafts have been used by the Israeli military since 1948, since the beginning of Israel, and have been directly used many times in attacks on civilians in Gaza. For war, it is a total of $15,991,109. So for Airbus SE, that's about 6 million. These are exact numbers, but I'm not going to read them all. I do struggle with numbers sometimes. General Electric Co. is about 4 million. Safran SA is about 3 million. Lockheed Martin was about 832,578. I'll give that one exactly. Boeing Co. was about 500,000. General Dynamics was about 200,000. Rolls-Royce Holdings was about 124,000. RTX Raytheon was about 99,000. BAE Systems was about 90,000. Northrop Grumman Corp. was about 45,000. L3 Harris Technologies was about 25,000. And then I could continue and continue on, but I would really like for you to look at this and remember that this is not coming from nowhere. This has been heavily researched, and UBC is directly funding this. No matter what Bacon says in his responses of saying that it was only a teeny tiny little percentage and it's their external holdings, still we must hold them accountable because our tuition is funding genocide. Here's five actions to take. This is a short guide for anyone who saw the All Eyes on Rafa AI image and maybe posted it. Number one is no more excuses. It's not great that you're only getting involved now, but it's better now than tomorrow. The oppression and genocide of the Palestinian people did not begin in October, but began 76 years ago. Here's some books that are recommended and some videos. The Empire Files presents Gaza Fights for Freedom, a film by Abby Martin. A really good book is The Hundred Years' War on Palestine, A History of Settler Colonialism and Resistance, 1917 to 2017, by Rashid Khalidi. My bad. And then there's a course on thepalestineacademy.com where you can get super educated on this and stay really informed. With some learning underway, it's also important to understand the scale. So the second part is staying informed. Palestinians in Gaza are sharing what they can, risking their lives to document and speaking in English so that you listener, can understand. So I'll give you some accounts here. I on Palestine with dots in between. Khaled Beydoun, so I'll spell that out, Khaled Beydoun. If you're listening live, you can find this episode on the CITR website later, and you can come back to this. Humanity Project, ITI at the end of Humanity. Palestine Red Crescent, Slingshot Palestine, and then here's some Palestinians you can follow. Wizard underscore Bisan, B-I-S-A-N-1. Hind Khoudari, H-I-N-D K-H-O-U-D-A-R-N, Hossam Wail, H-O-S-S-A-M-W-A-I-L-L, Prince Kuta, that's Prince K-O-U-T-A, and then Joe Gaza 93. Contact politicians. Before you say no too hard, it can only take 3 minutes. There's many, many resources where you can do this. In the link in ProtectPalestine.org's bio, you can find 3-minute quick, easily accessible message formats. Skip these brands. These brands are supporting the oppression and genocide. As consumers, how do we spend our money? How we spend our money drives how businesses act. Our money is our vote. I will be reading later a BDS info pamphlet after we come back after playing a few songs that's really detailed and exactly why we should be boycotting these exact companies. It is from November 2023, but the information is still really relevant. So now I'm going to take a break from talking, and I'm going to play 16 Jib by Shabdeed, and then Next to You by Kalani, which was just released and is a song about artists' position in resistance movements. So those are up, and then maybe some ads, and then we'll be back to share more information on BDS, and I'll be talking about the Assembly of Chiefs and their statement for a permanent ceasefire, and the indigenous lawyer who presented the motion. So we'll talk about that after this break.
في الحرب في البلد جنود وعساكر وطخطخة طخ وإذا بفكرك في الساهل بتفهم مرحبا فيك ملطخك في شلل ودوائر وشكل ومناظرك لابسلك على مين راح بتقاتل على مين راح شو هو يا أخي بتقاتل على مين راح يرتاح بالمرحلة هادي عبين معدانا ينيك وطارها يقوم شلومه يقيم قيامة كل مشروط مطروح على الطاولة وهادي نهاية كل مشروط بأمان بالبلد ضمانة عمله والناس التخموا منا من يفخر بمجاد الماضي ومن يستعرض عضلات بس عالفاضي والبشحد والبقبج والبشبع والبقعج والبلحق بلحق بس بسبقش تتنوع احلام الشاب العربي من ام 16 الى مفتاح البرج الى يطلع بس يرجعش الى ان يطلع تصريح طفاوي يفوت عالقدس عذري بطلع اخوي دك نط عالسور تتخش في بلاد العرب اوطاني وكل العرب سقطاني خوالات تصوير عطواني 16 جيب من خبز الحارة بسرعة بزور من جنبي وفنقص
بنقص سرعة بزر من جنبي وبصفهم كيف لو أفكر بعشا سنكر فوت عن فرقهم فهرب منهم بس بصفهم وبمرق ولا بقلقهم وكفلي يطلعني صف جنبهم شكل النص مش حنضيعهم شكل النص متضمن معبر لو فيش معبر ما بنتأخر شكل النص لحدود القدس شفير بسألني شفيع الصف في حب البلد نشمر بعساكر وسخطخ تفكر هيك السيل تفهم مرحبا فيك منطقك في شلل دوائر وشلل مناظر كلاب سمك على مين راح بتقاتل تقاتل على مين راح شو هو يا اخي
ونحن
CITR 101.9 FM, Unceded Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. Collective meetings are hosted on Thursdays at 6 p.m. in the lower atrium of the Nest CITR station, with a remote option as well. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unceded Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Unseated Airwaves. Un momento, please. Okay. So, as I mentioned earlier before our break, I'm going to be reading a BDS information sheet. You can find, or it's kind of a pamphlet, but you can find it outside of CITR if you happen to walk by our station. We have a few out there. And this is, again, like I mentioned earlier, this is from November 2023, so things have probably gotten a lot worse. Well, things have definitely gotten a lot worse, but it's not in this pamphlet. But this is why you should boycott these companies and the companies that should be boycotted. And this is called Boycott Genocide Supporters, www.inminds.com. There are many companies that support Israel and deserve to be boycotted, but this list of companies is particularly despicable in that they have ramped up their support for Israel, often specifically for the military, while it commits genocide in front of their eyes. So first up is McDonald's. These are all companies providing generous donations to the Israeli military while it commits a genocide in Gaza. So McDonald's, first and foremost, McDonald's proudly boasts that they have donated over 100,000 meals, including to the military and security forces, since the start of the genocide. Again, this was published in November, so this was only 1 month's worth of information. This is worth over $1.3 million and are giving soldiers 50% discounts. They have opened 5 new restaurants only for this purpose because they just love the IDF that much. Further to this, they have hired one of Israel's top 5 law firms to issue lawsuits against anyone who suggests they gave food to residents of Gaza. For Nestle, Nestle has a long history of supporting Israel and other genocides. It is wholly owned by subsidiary OSAM, and this has sent a fleet of mobile restaurants donating Nescafe and snacks to the IDF while they commit genocide. Burger King. Burger King had made a post that said, "Our teams are working diligently to continue donating thousands of meals to our heroes." And again, or not again, but I haven't mentioned yet that there's a bunch of images on here. These images are of IDF super happy, super gleeful with all of this food from these companies. Papa John's. Papa John's has posted a bunch of images on social media, and one quote is, "Donating pizzas to our fighters." Pizza Hut. Quote, "Proud to help. Previously, they mocked the Palestinian hunger strike for dignity by suggesting they break their strike with a pizza." Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola has a 57-year history of supporting the apartheid state. In the context of the current genocide, Coca-Cola Israel, CBC, which has a plant in the illegal settlement of Adarot, has been generously donating supplies to the military. Its social media states, "We continue to donate and help as much as we can, strong together," with photos of the IDF receiving supplies. Domino's Pizza. There's the only thing that is here is a Facebook post that says, "Domino's hearts IDF," with a bunch of IDF soldiers. I'm holding back here. With a bunch of pizza. So then we're going to go to companies donating millions to Israel through controversial nonprofits whilst Israel commits genocide. These companies, who have never given a penny to Palestinian humanitarian causes during the countless massacres Palestinians have suffered, are donating millions to Israel via nonprofits, often unnamed nonprofits, which when named are exposed as funding military, United Jewish Appeal, or breaching Geneva Conventions. Megan David Adam. And don't be fooled by the association of Judaism with these organizations. These organizations are institutions of colonialism. This is not about religion. The United Jewish Appeal's Israel's Emergency Fund is used, amongst other things, to aid military personnel and charter flights to bring Israeli special forces back from abroad to rejoin their reserve units so that they can participate in genocide. Basically, UJA, United Jewish Appeal's, is their goal is to be an institution supporting colonialism. This is an issue of colonialism and not religion and not ethnicity. Just saying on that part. So let's go with Megan David Adam Israel. Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu, who called on Israel to slaughter 1 million Palestinian civilians and to hang Palestinian children of, quote, terrorists from trees, was appointed to head a supervisory committee for Megan David Adam. Physicians for Human Rights have accused Megan David Adam, which supervises ambulance services, of complicity in deliberately leaving wounded Palestinians untreated for hours, waiting for them to die by covering up evidences of such abuses. Its flagrant disregard for the Geneva Conventions has led for its calls of expulsion from the ICRC. Fox donated $1 million to Israel via the UGA. Disney donated $1 million to Israel via Megan David Adam. I'll just call it MDA. Its subsidiary, Marvel's new Captain America film, features Sabra / Ruth Bat Seraph, a superhero personifying apartheid Israel by reviving this racist character in any form. Marvel promotes Israel's oppression of Palestinians. Paramount. Paramount donated $1 million to Israel via MDA and UGA. PepsiCo donated $1 million to unnamed quote humanitarian organizations. It's also donating another $2 million to Israel via unnamed organizations local to its bottling partners. PepsiCo owns SodaStream, which is complicit in Israel's policy of displacing the indigenous Bedouin Palestinian citizens of Israel in the Nakab. It is also a 50% partnership with Strauss to produce Sabra hummus, a company that openly provides financial support to the Israeli army. On their website, under social responsibility, Strauss boasted, "We have adopted the Golani Reconnaissance Platoon for over 30 years. Chanel donated $4 million to Israel via unnamed nonprofits. Cat, that company, you know, the one that makes the, what are they even called? Bulldozers. Those ones. Caterpillar has donated $1 million to Israel via unnamed nonprofits. It also supplies Israeli military with D9 bulldozers. I'll repeat that. Caterpillar donated $1 million to Israel via unnamed nonprofits. They also supply the Israeli military with D9 bulldozers. Fitted with machine gun turrets and armor, they are used to destroy Palestinian homes and olive groves. Teva. Israel's pharmaceutical giant, which fulfills 1 in 6 prescriptions in the UK, has partners with Israel's Pitch and Lev that provides tactical assistance towards the Home Front Command and the Knesset in all aspects of transporting food supplies, equipment, and supporting combat gear. Current priorities include ceramic bulletproof vests and helmets and gas masks for troops committing genocide. So far, Teva has already contributed over 1.5 tons of equipment to Pitch and Lev. Teva is also a long-term sponsor of the Israeli military, having adopted a battalion. And then we'll get into companies silencing criticism of genocide and promoting propaganda on behalf of Israel. Starbucks. Starbucks is suing its own workers' union for posting solidarity with Palestine on social media. Howard Schultz, Starbucks founder, 3 times chair, 2 times CEO, and currently its chairman emeritus and largest private owner of Starbucks shares worth $2.3 billion, is a staunch Zionist with huge investments in Israel. He was awarded, this is like the most comically Zionist thing you could ever be awarded, the Israel 50th Anniversary Friend of Zion Tribute Award. Again, this is the founder of Starbucks. He proudly displayed this award in his Starbucks locations. This is a sign of their complicity. I'd like to repeat again, the CEO and founder of Starbucks was awarded, well, not current CEO, but 2 times he was a CEO, was awarded the Israel 50th Anniversary Friend of Zion Tribute Award. He's literally just besties with the Israeli state. Wix, that website page. What is it? That website. Born out of the Israeli military, Wix states it's doing everything to support Israel in its genocide with the hashtag Hamas is ISIS, which is super racist. A leaked internal memo reveals it encourages employees, including 500 based in Ireland, to create content supporting Israel's narrative, training them in racism to show Westernity in social media posts backing Israel as, this is very important to listen to this part, unlike the cousins, we look and live like Europeans or Americans. This is Wix.com. When one employee, Courtney Carey, rejected this, she was immediately fired. Estee Lauder. Ronald Lauder, heir to Estee Lauder Cosmetics, is the chair emeritus of the Jewish National Fund, whose main function is to legitimize Israeli theft of Palestinian land. He is threatening to cut off funding to the University of Pennsylvania as punishment for holding a Palestinian writers' literary festival, which he tried to stop. The first step in genocide is to dehumanize the victims, portray them as terrorists lacking humanity or culture. A literary festival doesn't help this narrative. Again, he tried very hard and was threatening to cut off funding to this university for simply holding a Palestinian writers' literary festival, which that says everything. I don't know how you live your life if you don't see this as a genocide. Spyglass Entertainment. You might see this at the beginning of movies when you see that guy with the looking glass looking to the side. Spyglass Entertainment actress Melissa Barrera was fired by Spyglass for sharing an artist by Raz Segal, an Israeli professor of Holocaust and Genocide Studies who called Gaza a textbook case of genocide. Spyglass denounced it as anti-Semitic, a false reference to genocide, ethnic cleansing, and Holocaust distortion. Here's a Q&A portion of this. The company says it's neutral. It's the Israeli franchise, which it doesn't own and has no control over, that is supporting Israel. So why should we boycott the company? We've seen during the war in Ukraine the huge influence parent companies, if they wish, can yield over their franchises, even forcing them to shut down. Their inaction in Israel is an indication of their tactic support for genocide. Some companies, like McDonald's, Coca-Cola, and Papa John's, shut down operations in Russia. The company franchise is Muslim-owned, which supports Palestine. Why should we boycott the franchise? The revenue the company earns from its franchises can be huge. Starbucks gets over $3.5 billion from its licensed stores that it does not own. This is 11% of net revenue. Secondly, the best way to pressure a company is to target its brand, which is often its most precious asset. For example, the reason Coca-Cola sells better than cheaper generic cola isn't the taste, but it's the strength of the brand. The Coca-Cola brand is worth $106 billion, which is nearly half of the value of the whole company, which is $248 billion. Wherever the brand appears, it's a legitimate target for boycott. Even a cheap knockoff Coca-Cola t-shirt should be boycotted, as by wearing it, you strengthen the brand. Thank you for listening to that part. We only have a little bit of time left, but I would like to just highlight that back in December, the Assembly of First Nations backed the permanent Gaza ceasefire motion, which was presented by Willie Littlechild of Irminskin Cree Nation in Alberta, who happens to be an expert in international Indigenous law. Littlechild, who attended the assembly as a proxy for Chief Randy Irminskin, served as Grand Chief of the Confederacy of Treaty 6 First Nations from 2016 to 2019. He sat on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and was elected as the first Treaty First Nations MP in 1988 with the Progressive Conservatives. His resolution, which passed with 4 abstentions and zero votes against, so everyone agreed, consisted of 4 points. Calling for an immediate ceasefire, an end to the occupation of Gaza, and the liberation of all hostages, the unimpeded flow of immediate humanitarian access to all occupied Indigenous peoples' territories, and a full respect for international human rights law in all occupied Indigenous peoples' lands, including the West Bank and Gaza. Denouncing all forms of violence against Indigenous people by supporting an end to the violent, illegal occupation of Indigenous peoples' lands. Reminding states of their treaty, moral, and legal obligations to fully respect human rights and law and its norms and standards, including respect of international treaties which call on states to achieve peaceful coexistence with Indigenous people. Instructing a new national chief to immediately send a letter to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau calling for an immediate and permanent ceasefire. When giving the opportunity to speak before voting on his resolution commenced, a little child called scenes of death and destruction coming out of Gaza as a sad revelation for the Indigenous people of Turtle Island. We see and hear that thousands of children have been killed. We see and hear thousands of elders have been killed, sometimes used as human shields. This horrific tragedy impacts each of us, especially when it involves Indigenous people. Little Child encouraged the AFN to join the chorus of international Indigenous voices, including the International Indian Treaty Council and Sami Parliament of Norway, who have approached the situation in Israel through the lens of Indigenous rights. Our own treaty calls on us to promote peace and friendship, and under that context, we can't help but speak out against something that's contrary, totally, to peace. When there's dispossession of life, dispossession of language, dispossession of territory contrary to our international treaties, then we must say something. The resolution was seconded by Chief George Guinness of Natoaganig First Nation in New Brunswick. In his remarks delivered over Zoom, Chief Guinness referred to local healthcare workers he spoke to who bore witness to the horrors in Gaza. Chief Dylan White Duck of Kitiganzibi, Anishinaabeg, and Algonquin First Nation in Winnipeg, he offered his full support for the very important resolution. The resolution calls specifically for a permanent ceasefire and for a new national chief to write Trudeau demanding he advocate for one were included as a result of White Duck's friendly amendments. What's going on over there is colonialism and taking over these lands and territories, Chief White Duck said. The day after the AFN passed its ceasefire resolution, Iqaluit-based Inuk lawyer Beth Kotirk resigned from the Nutritional North Advisory Board to protest the Canadian government's support for the non-democratic settler colonial apartheid state of Israel. The settler colonial violence that we see in Palestine is intrinsically linked to the colonial violence carried out here in Canada against Indigenous people, Kotirk wrote in her resignation letter to Northern Affairs Minister Dan Vandal. While Israel's supporters attempt to cast Zionism as an Indigenous emancipation movement, the founders of Jewish nationalism were under no such illusion. Theodore Herzl, the father of modern political Zionism, wrote a 1902 letter to famed British colonialist and mining magnate Cecil Rhodes attempting to secure his support for the Zionist project, which Herzl proudly described as something colonial. Jabotinsky, another Zionist founding father, explicitly compared Palestinian Arabs to the Aztec and Sioux people in his 1923 Iron Wall essay, in which he argued that Zionist settlers must prepare for inevitable conflict between themselves and Palestine's indigenous populations. I'd like to repeat that. Zev Jabotinsky, another Zionist founding father, explicitly compared Palestinian Arabs to the Aztec and Sioux people in 1923 in his Iron Wall essay, in which he argued that Zionist settlers must prepare for inevitable conflict between themselves and Palestine's indigenous population. Every native population in the world resists colonists as long as it has the slightest hope of being able to rid itself of the danger of being colonized, Jabotinsky wrote. This is the man that wanted to colonize Palestine. This is what the Arabs in Palestine are doing, and what they will persist in doing as long as there remains a solitary spark of hope that they will be able to prevent the transformation of Palestine into the land of Israel. And I think that says everything you need to know about how Israel was created. This started in the 1910s, and they were much more open about what their plan was then. It's a cover-up now, but if you really look into the history of the founding of Israel, they knew exactly what they were doing. It's like South African apartheid. Where do you think the word truth and reconciliation came from? It wasn't made up for Canada. South Africa's apartheid system studied the Pass Act on Canadian reserves to be able to implement that into their own zones. And I did a speech recently to President Bacon. Hopefully I'll be able to share more of it with you. And in it, I said that, you know, in 1948, my grandfather was in residential school. He was taken by truck to a residential school, while many other people who I know's grandparents were taken by truck to the West Bank and Gaza. And this is undoubtedly a settler colonial project. And to be honest, I did forget what I was going to say. But, they were so much more open about it, and now it's being so much more covered up, and there's no denying that this is a genocide and that this has everything to do with us. Canada is Israel, as Israel's ABC zone system is the past system. I've had Palestinian friends teach me very lovingly, and I'm very grateful, about the ABC zone system and how that dictates their lives. And I highly recommend you look up Palestine ABC zone system, and it's how they slowly integrate Israel and determine who has governance over the area and how much freedom you have, basically. And it is the same as the Pass Act that was put on our reserves and then was studied by South Africa's apartheid project. And I would not be surprised if they studied our, it's not necessarily known yet, but I'm sure that they did. It's like how we got truth and reconciliation from South African apartheid. These are not isolated incidents. And truth and reconciliation means the liberation of Palestine. And personally, as a grandchild of residential school survivor, I'm so frustrated that people aren't drawing this parallel. And people who I see wearing orange shirts, I would never see them wearing a kufiyeh. And that disgusts me, to be honest. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Unceded Airwaves. This was a lot of talking and a lot of information, but it's been like steaming and bubbling for the past few weeks. Our next episodes over the summer will be a lot of re-airing episodes we've already done, because we have such a big catalog of almost 200 episodes going back to 2015. So we're highlighting those this summer, as well as 1 hour high-quality podcast per month. This first one will be on land and medicine and the sounds of that. So please look out for that. I will play you our promo one more time if you want to grab some information from there. Thank you for listening.
Serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unceded Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. Collective meetings are hosted on Thursdays at 6 p.m. in the lower atrium of the Nest CITR station, with a remote option as well. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unceded Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
Everything you take in is the first and the last time it will ever be that way. This is Kristen Carter, and my debut contemporary pop album, Full Bloom, is now yours to discover on all digital streaming platforms. The past few years have had me reflecting a lot on what it means to be resilient, patient, and joyful, much like a gardener. Full Bloom is a living garden of 12 songs that celebrates the beauty in the seasonal nature of life. My hope is that each time you listen, you'll hear things in a different glow of light that make them new all over again. You can find Full Bloom wherever you listen to music, or you can visit thekristencarter.com or follow @KristenCarterMusic on social media to learn more. Funded by Factor and Canada's private radio broadcasters.
Welcome, neighbor, to our gayborhood. In Our Gayborhood is a journey through the communities of BC, meeting our neighbors who work towards a world where everyone can be proud of who they are. In our first season, get to know the Tush L'Jibitikwa advocates, educators, and students who help our schools grow into spaces where everyone can belong. Just like our neighborhoods, each episode is filled with the spirit of care, the energy of activism, and the warmth of community. Join us in Our Gayborhood, premiering June 14th at the Queer Arts Festival.
Funky behavior. Make a note on the rhythm we gave you. Feel free, drop your pants, yak your hair. Do you like the garments that we wear? I instruct you to be the obeyer. A rhythm recipe that you'll savor. Doesn't matter if you're minor or major. Yes, the tribe of the game with a player. As you inhale like a breath of fresh air.